This is KCUR 89.3. Do you remember when playgrounds were made out of wood and metal? When falling off the monkey bars meant landing on gravel or concrete? And do you remember the switch when it seemed like all of it was replaced with colorful plastic? As part of our look on how far the region has come over the past 30 years, KCUR's Suzanne Hogan explores Kansas City's playgrounds and looks at what they could be like in the future.
The new Carnes Playground in Roanoke Park doesn't look like most playgrounds in the Kansas City area. Thick ropes weave together to make a dome-shaped obstacle course. There's a metal slide on an astroturf hill and a zip line.
My turn!
George Arstrom is here with his twin grandsons, Logan and Hayden. It's their first time visiting the new playground.
He figured it out.
I'll probably try it later, baby. I guess it's strong enough for a man, I don't know.
After Logan and Hayden take their turns on the zipline, Grandpa does give it a try. And yes, it is indeed strong enough to hold him. He's having just as much fun as the kids. Here, adults and kids can be found playing all throughout the playground, which is a sign that this new design is working.
The more unique we can make playgrounds, I think the better.
Erica Flatt is a landscape architect with the Kansas City Parks Department. She worked with the surrounding neighborhood to make this new playground happen.
You can go to a lot of parks and play on the same kind of slide and swings, but if you go to, you know, this one that has the huge mound and the zip line, that's pretty, you know, different and exciting, I think, for the city.
Adventure playgrounds, which have unique play elements and introduce more risk, are a new trend here and around the country. But most of the nearly 100 playgrounds in the city don't look that way. They have what are called post and deck structures. You know, the kind of plastic playgrounds that link slides and a climbing platform all together. A playground innovation that goes back to one man.
I often refer to as the playground guru.
Jay Beckwith came up with the post and deck playground design for elementary age children in the 80s, but it quickly took over the industry, a fact that frustrates him to this day.
My intent was not to have that kind of system sort of become ubiquitous, which it has now become.
So how did we get to this place?
This goes back, nearly 100 years.
Tom Norquist is the president of IPEMA, the International Playground Equipment Manufacturers Association. He says the first public playgrounds were pretty bare bones. Sandlots, public spaces designed to keep kids off the streets. Eventually, metal play structures, gymnastic apparatuses, and fantasy sculptures were put in the mix. But in the 1970s and 80s, growing concerns over playground injuries changed everything.
It was a time of kind of cleaning up and making our playgrounds safer and more compliant.
IPEMA and the ASTM, an international standards organization, came up with, well, standards, and a certification program for playgrounds. Also, the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990, and that called for more inclusive designs. Norquist says it was a time when old playgrounds were updated. Concrete was replaced with shock-absorbent surfaces. They took out the hazardous structures, installed guardrails. But now Norquist says playground design is in a renaissance.
Most of the companies have spent over a decade of being focused on safety and inclusion or accessibility. And so now I see designers for firms really stepping up and creating play experiences that might be a little edgy, if you will.
Norquist says these new designs are geared more towards multi-generational play. Designers are playing with music, sound, virtual reality, and there's a trend of incorporating more natural elements like wood and water, exploring different ways we can move our bodies or use a playground to tell a story.
As I say, play on.
So what does this all mean for Kansas City? Well, Erica Flatt from the Parks Department says we're already seeing some of those trends here. But these new innovative designs can be more expensive, and they call for a lot more community involvement.
Neighborhood input and all of that is really important when it comes to the direction and like their vision.
Flad says about 90% of the projects that they work on are financed through PIAC, the Public Improvements Advisory Committee. which calls on residents and neighborhoods to submit ideas for improvements that they'd like to see in their community. So when it comes to what type of playground your neighborhood could have in the future, whether it's a plastic post and deck structure, a ropes course, or say something that tells a story, well, it's really up to you. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Suzanne Hogan.
This story is part of KCUR's 3030 Vision Project, in which we look at where we've come over the last 30 years, where our current path would land us in the next 30 years, and what could be a new course set by the next generation of leaders.